Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live, but not from the SBTV studios in New York, but rather on location here just outside of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Sweltering day out here, and we're hoping that the sound and everything is just as good as it is when we're back in the SBTV studios. So let's cross our fingers that all goes well here. Today, because our main subject of the show is AEW. Is it in fact on the verge of becoming a hugely successful federation, or is it really just another WCW? And I think you can make some arguments on both ends of that spectrum, and we will be making those arguments shortly. But first, we want to get to some news. And of course, we, as we all know, Andrade made his AEW debut, cutting a promo in English, which apparently Vince McMahon didn't know he could do or didn't give him much of a chance to do because he did all right. And Vicky Guerrero introduced him, calling himself El Idilio, which is the idol, I guess. And we'll talk a little later about this being an important pickup for AEW, but Charlotte Flair had tweeted crying emojis and heart emojis, I guess meaning she's so happy she's crying. You're going to have a hard time holding on to Charlotte Flair if Andrade does well. If Andrade is treated well and does well, WWE better throw everything in the world at Charlotte Flair to keep her happy. Because, folks, when you have that kind of incentive to leave, there's no stronger incentive. Money is money. Charlotte Flair was born into money. So money is money to Charlotte Flair, but I mean, this is where her husband is. And now that the WWE is going to go back on the road, we're not going to get the same schedules. I think that's a very important thing to consider. When everyone was doing the exact same building, this was not so hard to really match your schedules and say, well, if you're not in the same federation as me, you're doing a building here, I'm doing a building there, we can meet in all the days that we have off. That's not the case now. They're going to be on the road. And things are going to change. These 25, 30 city tours, I'm going to leave a lot of time to meet in between. AEW is still going to have a lighter schedule, but still, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And we also have some more word on the Aleister Black situation. As you know, we touched on Thursday on a special broadcast of this show, all of the releases from WWE, Aleister Black, Braun Strowman, obviously Ruby Riott, Buddy Murphy. And we said, look, these are bad. I mean, no matter how you look at it, you can look at it from a business point of view. I've heard people say, well, it makes perfect sense from a business point of view. No, actually it doesn't. I think the people who say it makes perfect sense from a business point of view have never, ever in their lifetime owned a business. And here's what I mean by that. You don't change your menu if everybody is okay with your menu. You don't take things off that you're still selling. That's stupid. Now, if you want to get rid of Buddy Murphy because you're doing nothing with him, I get it. You want to get rid of Santana Garrett, I get it. I do not get getting rid of Braun Strowman when you're going back on the road. He's a definite draw. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if he's being used as a mid-carder. He's still a draw. And Aleister Black was ready to unleash his new character. You had no idea how that was going to go over, good, bad, or indifferent. So for the people who are saying this is very good business sense, This would be like opening a restaurant and saying, coming soon, our colossal mega burger. And every single placemat sitting at the table, mega burger, coming soon, mega burger, mega burger, mega burger, coming soon. Stop in and see our mega burger. Taste our mega burger. And you're like, oh, wow, man, I guess I am going to have to try one of these. And then you go in one day and they say, ah, what the hell with it? We scrapped it. We're not doing it. You think that's good business? People are going to be like, what the hell you mean you scrapped it? You've been plugging this thing for I don't know how long, and now you're not even going to give us a chance to taste it? And it's going to make you look small time. It's going to make you look like you don't know what you're doing. That's what you did with Aleister Black. Those are not good business moves. At a time when you have almost no tag teams, you let Lana and Ruby Riott go. Two people who are involved in tag teams. Women's tag teams. You have almost no women's tag teams, and now you have less. So once again, how is that good business? I don't understand the concept of that's good business. It's good business to cut the chafe if you're coming close to not having a profit margin. When you have a profit margin the size of the WWE, it is not good business sense to do the things they did. Now, you could say maybe Buddy Murphy. Personally, I think he was underused. I think the fans were the ones who ruined his push. When the fans all cried in their T-shirts about, oh, he's 30 and Aaliyah Mysterio's 19 and our sensitive eyes can't take this, the WWE, after throwing up two or three times at how big a snowflakes wrestling fans have become, said, okay, then just don't do it. Fans don't want to see it, they're fine. And we don't have anything more from Murphy, so F them. But if that's the case, at least you can say, well, they really had nothing for him. And the WWE is not short of wrestlers, so if you have absolutely nothing for him, okay. But you had something for Aleister Black you didn't even test. And Braun Strowman was fine. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I find it a little bit coincidental, and I have no proof of this, but I find it a little bit coincidental that Randy Orton was told after WrestleMania, you'll be feuding with Braun Strowman, and he said, I'd rather not. I'd rather form a tag team and do this thing with Riddle, and they let Randy Orton have his way, and then all of a sudden, Braun Strowman's gone. Now, perhaps somebody with the tenure of Randy Orton saying, I really don't want to work with the guy. I don't think it elevates me in any way or elevates him in any way or whatever. I don't want to do it. Might have sounded a wake-up call in the WWE where they said, well, then, okay, we have nothing for him then. Randy Orton don't want to work with him. We can't really find anything logical for him to do, but I still say you keep him just for the fact that he's a draw. A lot of people never saw Braun Strowman live. Now that these restrictions are easing up and you're going to see a 25-city tour, there's a lot of people who would have come to see Braun Strowman. So I think that was a mistake. You could say, well, Lana wasn't doing anything. Okay, well, is Mandy Rose really doing anything? Dana Brooke really doing anything? I would argue that Lana's a bigger name than Mandy Rose or Dana Brooke. She might not be a better wrestler. She's a bigger name. So no, for the people who say these made good business sense, no, they didn't. You know what makes good business sense? Cutting people that you say, I really don't think we're going to be using them in any tangible way. Like, for instance, how come Jeff Hardy still got a job? You're doing absolutely nothing with Jeff Hardy. Let him go. You're obviously not afraid of him going over to AEW because everybody else is. So let him go. You're not doing anything with him. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. May as well let Chad Gable go. Where's this going? Nowhere. Let him go. Pick the guy you want to be on top between Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander and let the other guy go, because these are truly guys that I don't know if you have anything for. But I'm sure you could have found something for Braun Strowman to do. I'm sure you could have found something for Aleister Black to do since you just started out. I'm damn sure you could have found something for Ruby Riott to do and really move that tag team up in the ranks. And I'm sure you could have found something for Lana to do, especially if it might have involved a double brand feud between her and possibly Eva Marie, who we now clearly see is going to feud with, have that same double brand feud probably with Carmella. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, there are people saying it's a good business decision. I don't see how the majority of these are a good business decision.
What was the term for a long time that they would – we heard ad nauseum, Triple H and Stephanie and the rest of them say, what's best for business? Now, how can you tell me that these cuts are what's best for business when you know that, one, you know, we talked about Lana, and Lana seemed to be improving. Number two, Ruby Riott. She goes to any one of these other women's divisions, and they're legitimate. I mean, Impact has, has a pretty good women's division, but how much better would it be with Ruby Riott there, you know? And don't even give me about AEW. I mean, God, you know. And then, of course, with Lana, you know. And look, here's the deal. In his interview, in his promo on Friday night, guess what Rusev did? He mentioned his wife.
Right.
So what does that tell you?
Yeah, look, out of all of them, I understand Santana Garrett if you don't think you're going to be using her, and I understand Murphy if you figure you had nothing for him and the fans ruined his push. Then I guess if you wanted to let Lana go because she was unhappy maybe or she wanted to be with her husband, whatever, then okay. But I'm sorry, the rest of these people are not good for business in any way, shape, nor form. Absolutely not good for business. It's not good for the look of your business, releasing Aleister Black after teasing him for so long. It's not good for your business as far as hitting the road with house shows with no Braun Strowman. And it's not good for your women's tag team division when you don't have a Ruby Riott or a Lana, because they were in legitimate tag teams, at least, that we could actually see that there was a tag team division, without having to throw two solo wrestlers together. Because I'm presuming you're also going to be breaking up perhaps you're going to be breaking up, I should say, the former women's tag team champions. We'll see where this whole thing goes. But I can't see Nia Jax remaining in a tag team with somebody who beat up her boyfriend. So we'll see where this goes. Shayna Baszler is much better off solo. So is Nia Jax, really, even though Nia Jax got to do short matches. So again, your tag team division is all but destroyed. Your women's tag team division is all but destroyed. So I don't get it. In the chat room, Derek saying maybe they ran out of people for Lana to have an affair with. Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's all. See, this is a real problem with Lana. You jump the shark with Lana right away. As soon as Lana and Rusev started having their deal where they were going to separate for a while, she was instantly supposedly having an affair with Dolph Ziggler. Then she was supposedly having an affair with English, but that seemed to turn into an angle where she wasn't. And then it was Lashley. And I'm saying to myself, you would have got so much more out of that if Lana was the more loyal person out of the two, and Rusev didn't quite grasp the concept that his handler, his manager, was madly in love with him. when they first came in and she had the Russian accent, she was just saying, she never said that was her husband or anything. She didn't. That was just supposed to be some guy she was unleashing. It would have been a whole lot better if she had to hammer Rusev over the head with the fact that quite obviously she's in love with him. And then flip him. You would have had a lot better. You would have had a lot better mileage out of that whole thing than you got. You got nothing from Lana, and it's a shame because she's a good actress. She's not a great wrestler. She's a good actress, and you could have got a lot more from her if you gave her a shot. And really, you did nothing. I mean, let's face it. The whole thing with Asuka and Lana, that was leading to WrestleMania, and then Charlotte Flair came back, and you said, "Oh, to hell with Lana. Let's get her out of the way and put Charlotte in that position." That's exactly what you did. It's exactly what you did. That whole thing that Charlotte was supposed to go through, I'm presuming was for Lana. I'm presuming Lana and Asuka were going to win the belts. It's the way it was looking. So I don't know. Todd, I just don't think it's a good look when you release people who are still either A, draws, or B, that you were utilizing in a major way just weeks ago.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about Lana, Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, guys like people like that, they were drawing. They're supposed to be big draws, and you're going to let those kind of superstars go?
You know, Aleister Black was saying there was a whole lot more to this character. He was going to come out wearing a mask, I guess. He was going to feud. He said he had a whole itinerary that he wanted the WWE to do where he would feud with people all the way up to almost Vince McMahon. And his ultimate feud, supposedly, what he wanted to do was with Bray Wyatt. All that's gone. So I don't know, folks. I don't know. All I know is this. It's not good for business. If you're talking about strictly the financials, please don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. That would be the equivalent of Elon Musk saying, "I think I'll brew my own coffee instead of buying it at Dunkin' Donuts. Might save me a few dollars." That's the equivalent of. So don't make me laugh with, "Oh, it's good for business because it's better to cut the payroll to see more profits." The WWE seen their top profits they've ever seen. They signed $1 billion deal. They just got rid of their network. They're rolling in money. They are virtually rolling in money. So please don't be fooled by that. Nothing to do with budget cuts. None of this had anything to do with budget cuts. If it has anything to do with anything, be very suspicious of a possible sale. And the reason I say that is because if you're a company looking to buy the WWE, you might look at the product and say, how many of these million-dollar contracts you got? You got Braun Strowman signed to a $1-point-something-million-dollar contract for a few years. You got Lana signed to 5 years for multi-million dollars. But, yeah, we don't want to honor that. That would be a problem for us. We don't want to buy that. That would be the equivalent of me buying a building and saying, well, I've got tenants locked into 5-year leases that are paying very, very little rent. And then I say, well, I don't want to buy the building then, because if I got to honor all these leases, how am I going to make any money? You got tenants in there paying, $600-700 a month. I could get $2,500. I need them out. And I can't legally get them out if they've signed leases unless I buy out their lease. So what a prospective buyer will do is go to the WWE and say, well, you either buy out their contract or you release them and you pay them the money before we ever sign anything to buy anything. Then we're not responsible. You keep paying Lana the $1-point-whatever-million. You keep paying Braun Strowman that. That's your agreement. We don't want that agreement. Maybe that's a precursor to someone who's really, really interested in deep in negotiations to buy. And I've heard that NBC is extraordinarily interested. So we'll see. We will see. Anyway, let's talk a little SmackDown before we get to this AEW. SmackDown this week, I had a couple of problems with, none of which were the acting or the the real drama with the Usos and Roman Reigns. They did a good job. All of them did a really good job. But my problems are twofold. And then I have some things that I actually think were brilliant. Let me start with the one thing that I think was brilliant. They started the night with the tag team championship match. Now, the reason I say that's brilliant is, did Roman Reigns not say to Jey Uso, when you do as I say, you close the show, you're the main event? Now he can legitimately say, look, you went out on your own in your opening match. You're the first guys out. So I thought that was brilliant. It was probably done on purpose. Also to give them a little rest before they have their main event match. But my problem is this. Last week I said Jimmy Uso is playing his role well because he shows some disdain for Roman Reigns, but he's not at the point where they're going to fight or anything. He's just saying, you're not going to treat me like you're treating Jay, and I'm not being your lapdog. Well, this week, Jimmy Uso felt a lot more like his lapdog. He didn't speak up when he should have a couple of times. There were things he didn't say that he could have. At the end, he kind of did, but to be honest with you, I don't know why Jimmy Uso's cool with him just walking back saying, yeah, we're going out and we're going to do this for the family. Wait a minute. This is the guy that choked you out. This is the guy who treats your brother like garbage. You should have a little less care for him, put it that way. So I was a little bit with that. The second thing is, who the hell is Roman Reigns going to fight at Hell in a Cell? Hell in a Cell is 2 weeks away. We still don't have anybody. If it's supposed to be Cesaro, well, come on. We're in the middle of a feud with Seth Rollins. So who the hell is Roman Reigns supposed to fight? They're not really focusing on who Roman Reigns is going to fight, and this is a mistake. Because while you're focusing on the tag team thing, you also have to have that side storyline of who Roman Reigns is going to take on at Hell in a Cell so you can plug it. You didn't do that. So that's a mistake in the storyline. Roman shouldn't have this kind of vested interest in the tag team. As a matter of fact, you'd think he'd want them to fail. According to the storyline, it would be better for Roman if they did fail. So that's a little bit of a convoluted storyline, Mike, that I'm not 100% sure that I agree with.
I kind of don't agree with it either, but again, I mean, look, we've seen them do this type of stuff before with different storylines. You may not agree with it, and you may or may not think it's a mistake, but the storyline otherwise is just so damn good and being acted so damn well that it kind of overlooked that sort of mistake, but again, it just doesn't make sense.
No, and I just don't want him to run this into the ground because this is really good, and I don't want this ran into the ground with things that are illogical. Once again, Roman Reigns was, we all know, was hoping the Usos would fail, correct? I mean, so he could say to Jay, you see, and he could say to Jimmy, see, you don't have it. So I'm not sure I like that. I did like the match. The match was really good, and I thought it was clever that the referee didn't see Jimmy Uso get his shoulder up. So Jimmy Uso has a legitimate excuse. I did not lose. Referee screwed us. So they go to, obviously, the powers that be, which is Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce, and say, you saw what happened, and they say, we'll take it under advisement. I don't know if they're dropping this angle where these two are going to go at each other, but now they seem to be on the same page, so I don't know. Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce, I mean. Now, what makes this weird is they make this the main event. Well, what was going to be your main event if that never happened? Okay, the main event tonight is the rematch because we've decided that, yes, the referee blew it. Okay, well, what was your main event before that? That's a little weird, right? You didn't have one, quite obviously. Liv Morgan goes on her own. We see where this is going. Fights Carmella. She does well. I thought it was classless, by the way, of the announcers to say she's going it on her own tonight, huh? As like they had any choice. But tag team partner's fired. But this whole Carmella thing, saying I'm the most beautiful girl in the WWE, I'm this, that, and the other thing. I know she's not going to be in the same brand as Eva Marie, but something's up. This is what I thought they might do with Lana. But instead, it looks like they're going to do it with Carmella. Carmella's basically back to the same exact character she was. I mean, exactly the same character. So, we'll see what happens. The Bianca Belair-Bailey thing, I don't know. Bailey just laughing hysterically at nothing isn't really thrilling me. Sorry to tell you. It's not really thrilling me. I mean, Bailey's better than this and probably deserves better than this. And the reason behind this, as far as I can see, is everybody else is tied up into things that, you know, there is nobody else to fight Bianca Belair, is there? So this is kind of the whole theme of the WWE lately. It's just let's repeat, and regurgitate until you do like it. I mean, let's face it, at Hell in a Cell, we're getting Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley one more time. We're getting Bianca Belair and Bayley one more time. A lot of these matches are just like, okay, these are just regurgitated matches. We've seen them. And by the way, I did want to mention that supposedly Vince McMahon had told some insiders that the reason he got rid of Braun Strowman for the most part was because he couldn't really successfully be the monster among men when he had a guy like Almost there who was enormous, and also Commander Aziz, General Aziz, whatever his name is, both of these guys who are way bigger. I don't buy that. I understand where you're coming from. It's pretty hard to make him the monster when there's a guy who's a lot bigger than him. But he's not bigger than him as far as his size, his mass. And I just, you know, you promote Brock Lesnar as the beast incarnate, he's not bigger than a lot of people. So I'm not sure I buy that. Still think something's up. I still think some people got their eyes on the prize as far as possibly buying the WWE. Because this is the exact thing a company does when someone is interested in buying them, but has some reservations because of their outgo. They start to cut a little bit of their outgo in order to make the deal seem a little sweeter. So we'll see. Anyway, overall, SmackDown was okay. I mean, we got to see Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin one more time. I don't know where the hell this is going. This is literally just a fight over, I want my crown. It's all that's over. I don't get it. So Baron Corbin beat Shinsuke Nakamura. Nakamura attacks him after the match and takes his crown, which is kind of a heel move since it really is Baron Corbin's crown. Then Shinsuke Nakamura comes back out. This time he has a heavy metal guitar player with him for whatever reason, we don't know. No explanation for it whatsoever. Here he is. And he beats Baron Corbin with a little bit of help, a little bit of distraction. Now this week, Baron Corbin beats him, but gets attacked after the match, and the crown remains with Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't know what the hell's going on here, but it's not interesting. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a battle over nothing. They're just trading victories back and forth. That's all they're doing. And I guess this is leading up to some King of the Ring type match or something, or the winner gets the crown. Does anybody care? That's the best you can do with Shinsuke Nakamura? I mean, is that even really the best you can do with Baron Corbin? Who, in my opinion, I know a lot of people are going to be upset with me for saying it, I think he's underrated. at least he's a guy that nobody cheers for. At least he's a real heel. He's a heel that literally gets heel heat, as opposed to a heel that half the fans are rooting for. So in that respect, he's done his job. And this is the best you got for these two guys, huh? And I guess we're just going to, what's his name, Rick Boogs or whatever? Okay, and he's going to do what exactly? I mean, he's almost Elias. If he sang, he'd be Elias. You already have a guitar-playing, you know, muscle-bound dude. And I don't get it. And hooking him up with Shinsuke Nakamura, I definitely don't get it. So we'll see. I mean, Mike, overall, it wasn't the worst SmackDown. At the end, of course, we see Roman Reigns interfere, beat the hell out of Dominic Mysterio. Jimmy Uso kind of walks away from that and says this isn't the right way to do things. Jey Uso looks a little conflicted of which he should do. Should he follow his brother? Should he follow Roman? And it kind of went off the air before we got that decision, which I'm okay with because maybe they'll show us something next week. That's what I'm assuming, is they'll show us a little something next week. But this overall didn't have that same fire that the last few SmackDowns did, at least not to me.
It didn't, but can you tell me that it's not miles ahead of where Raw is?
Oh, it's 100 miles ahead of what Raw is.
Right.
Absolutely.
So in that case, I gave Raw a C plus or a D plus last time. I'm going to have to give SmackDown somewhere in the area of a B minus, even with the problems, because it's still, I mean, we're not supposed to compare the two shows, but you can't help it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to compare them. You got to compare them. And the truth of the matter is, it is miles apart from Raw because Raw's a disaster. I mean, Raw's about as close to a disaster as you're going to get. And the reason Raw's a disaster isn't their roster. Their roster's fine. Their roster's excellent. It's because no one cares about anything that's going on there. They don't care whether Drew McIntyre wins. They don't care whether Bobby Lashley wins. They don't care what's happening to anybody over there. There is no predominant storyline on Raw that people say, I truly care about what's going on. On SmackDown, there's at least the one. It's better than nothing. And SmackDown knows that is the storyline that you're running with, so they're giving them plenty of time, plenty of airtime. Now, as far as Street Profits backstage getting jumped by Otis after telling off Chad Gable. I'm not interested in that feud either. And the reason I'm not interested in it is you've not played up Gable and Otis as being anything. Nothing at all. So how am I supposed to be excited about that? I'm not. And this is kind of a Raw booking, and that worries me. When you do things like that, it reminds me of what Raw does. It doesn't matter. We're just throwing these two guys in, and the reason they're feuding is one guy got mad at the other guy. Okay. There's never anything that's actually personal or that you can really flesh out a character with. It's just, oh, well, you disrespected Chad Gable, who's done nothing for my career, by the way. And yet somehow I have a loyalty to him because why? That doesn't make any sense. The Seth Rollins interview, I'm not liking the new Seth Rollins character. I don't know what he's trying to be. Trying to be like the Joker with no makeup, I guess. And it's really not working for me. And all I can hope is that this is his last run as a heel before Becky Lynch comes back and maybe they snap him back into being the face Seth Rollins, because this thing is not working anymore. Totally not working. Him taking the microphone off and not even finishing an interview. I don't know what that helps. Do we really want to see him and Cesaro one more time? I don't. So this was the problem. If there was a problem this week with SmackDown, it was a problem in you're not furthering any more storylines. You've got one good one going. And you got one we're really interested in. But while you're doing that, see, a smart promoter says, I've hooked the fan. they're very interested in this particular storyline. So while I'm playing this storyline out, I'm going to hook them with something else. I'm going to put a second one in there that'll hook them. And then before they know it, they'll be interested in a majority of the characters. And that's the way I do it. That's a good promoter. That's a good booker. They're not doing that. They're just like, oh, you ride the coattails. We don't have to do anything else. We have one good storyline. So we don't need any more storylines. Why work that hard? I don't like that philosophy. This is the time when we should be having storylines on all the SmackDown characters so that we can legitimately get hooked with another storyline that's just as good or at least somewhat as good as the Usos Roman Reigns situation. We're not getting that. So normally I'm, you know, heaping praise on SmackDown, and they deserve it because they're a whole lot better than Raw. But this week, they were pretty average, and they didn't do anything to further really anything. So this week, I'm going to give them a flat C. I don't necessarily see anything great about this week's SmackDown. Todd, what do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, like you said about the Seth Rollins interview, I didn't really care for that either. The other stuff with Otis, with the Street Profits, I didn't even like that. I'm going to give them a flat C as well.
Yeah, they could have done much more because you know you've got your audience now. You know you got everybody hooked with the Reigns and the Uso situation, and this is the time. This is the time to come alive and hook them with everything else, and you're not doing it. You're playing lazy. Not really sure that's the way to go on SmackDown. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, what would you like to say? Hang on. I'll get you back.
I guess I've been away for so long that you don't recognize the sound of my own voice. What's up, Marcus? It's Church.
Church? I don't recognize your voice. What's up?
Not much, but from the way it sounds that the WWE still hasn't come up with a decent storyline to keep people interested for more than 5 minutes, other than the one they got on SmackDown this week. This is what happens when you are your own competition for the last, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah, well, you're right. That doesn't help. But you would think, Church, that they would have learned by now that when Raw's doing 1.3 million and SmackDown's doing 2.2 million, something's not right.
I mean, you're right. Something has gone right. But at the same time, they don't see AEW as a viable threat anymore because they know let's look at it logically here. When you're letting people go, take the other guy's money, and are letting them go on a semi-good terms basis, it's like, so you're WCWing them? You're letting them go to the competition to basically bankrupt that guy, get him off TV? Really?
Yes, okay. That's a good point. It's a good point you're making. So they're not going to bankrupt Tony Khan because they got all the money in, you know, the world. But the point you're making, I think the better point that you're making is with shows opening up, with people going on the road, and with the main problem of AEW being we don't have a lot of people there who probably would draw when it comes to I am actually going to go to that arena. Now, you got to remember, there's still a lot of people running around saying, 6 feet apart, wear your masks. Don't look at somebody cross-eyed. You'll catch the virus. There's still people scared to death. And there's a lot of people that I talk to. I'm not going to any live events right away. Maybe next year sometime. I'm not going to do it. So you got to have an incentive. You got to have a reason for them to go. And it ain't going to be the Young Bucks, okay? Because I've been to indie shows with the Young Bucks that didn't sell out. And there's 500 seats in the place. So don't tell me it's the Young Bucks is going to, I'll brave the virus to see the Young Bucks. I don't buy it. Moxley's gone for a while, so it's not going to be him. Jericho's getting a lot older, and he's cutting down his schedule, so it's not going to be him. So you had the competition by the ass because they don't have a lot of people who's going to draw massive numbers. And now you're going to hand them to him. Now you're going to say, well, go ahead and take Aleister Black. Go ahead and take Braun Strowman. Go ahead and take Ruby Riott. Braun Strowman's definitely a draw, Church. So, you know, if they get him, you're right. They've just played right into the competition's hands.
You're essentially letting them go ahead. What's going on is it's a go ahead, take the other guy's money to do literally whatever you want, get it out of your system. And then when you realize that just ruins your career and you come back looking for a job, we might have one for you. We might not. Also, think of a storyline that'll make people care. It's cool that you got all these wrestlers, or sports entertainers, as we like to call them nowadays. It's cool you got all these guys, all these athletes. Let's keep it PG here. It's cool you got all these athletes doing these amazing matches, but why should we care?
And that's
why
the problem.
That's
the exact problem. Does anybody care about Ricochet and anybody, to be perfectly honest, Mansoor or Humberto Carrillo? No, I don't. And here's the reason I don't care about them. They're good athletes, but they have no story to them. There's no story to it. They're just like, okay, Sheamus invited us to come out, and if we can win, we maybe earn a title shot. Oh, we didn't win. Okay, well, if you didn't win, then the storyline should be maybe something like, Ricochet gets upset and says, I'm tired of this. I'm way better than this. I know I'm better than this, and yet for some reason, I can't win. And Humberto Carrillo is getting all the shots, and maybe Ricochet flips and attacks Carrillo and says, you know, you're not going to step on my toes here. I've had enough of being Mr. Nice Guy. At least we have a couple of good matches and we'd care whether Ricochet won or Humberto Carrillo. Instead, these two chuckleheads lose to Sheamus clean and then say, you're right, we can't beat them one-on-one. Let's attack them two-on-one. Okay, and you're the good guys? You're supposed to be the faces? That doesn't make any sense. And that's why we don't care about them, because it doesn't make any sense. And then suddenly AJ Styles went from, you know, he's a top guy. He's the guy you don't want to fight because he's been all over the place. He's made a name for himself everywhere. He's a technician. He's a high flyer. He's got all the experience in the world. And now if he's a bad guy and he's going to start taking shortcuts, that makes him even harder to beat. No. Instead, you hook him up with Omos, and all of a sudden he's Enzo Amore. I can't get anything done. I get my ass beat, and then I desperately try to make the tag to this giant guy who comes in and does two moves. So that's AJ Styles? That's your best use for AJ Styles? Making him a third-rate Enzo Amore? That's dumb. That's ludicrous. Talk about a waste of talent. But that's the WWE. Anyway, we're going to talk about this AEW situation because this could go either way. AEW has snatched up The Big Show, done nothing with him, really. They snatched up Mark Henry. They're not going to do anything with Mark Henry. What is it you're going to do with Mark Henry? Make him a trainer, make him a backstage guy. You're not going to do anything with him. He says, I want to wrestle again. Nobody, we don't want to see it. Don't want to see The Big Show either. So Vince McMahon knew that wasn't going to be a problem. These guys are way, way, way past their prime, and what are they going to do? If they do one or two matches, it's going to be like Sting. Just here or there, just to say, we got them. They're a big name, and we got them. But now, ladies and gentlemen, now we're getting into a problem. Because if you reunite Lana and Miro, and AEW is smart enough to do what they should have done in the WWE and make them legitimately the next Randy Savage, Miss Elizabeth, you got a problem. You got a major problem. because they have natural charisma together because, they're husband and wife. Two, there's infinite amount of storylines you can write there. Three, she's now been able to get in the ring a little bit. Before, she really didn't do a lot of wrestling. Now she's doing some. So you can even get away with having her have a match. This is a problem for the WWE. You don't let them get both pieces to the puzzle, okay? It's bad enough they stole one of your puzzle pieces. Now you're just going to say, I'll take the whole damn puzzle, okay? Well, then they have that on their side. They're probably going to have Miro and Lana, and when they do, this is a problem. Then if that's not bad enough, you let Samoa Joe go. You think Samoa Joe is over the hill and done? If Samoa Joe lands on his feet in AEW, that's huge. That's huge. You now got two names that draw, that fans actually might want to get out of their houses for. Oh, Samoa Joe is going to take on Miro, and Lana's going to be there and stuff. I'd like to see that. Okay, well, AEW didn't have that before. Now you want to add Braun Strowman and Aleister Black to the mix potentially? Now, I know fans are going to say, oh, they're just doing what WCW did. They're just taking all the leftovers. Well, first off, WCW didn't take leftovers because Kevin Nash and Scott Hall were nobody's leftovers. Do you understand the dynasty they created with the NWO? Do you have any idea how big and important those two people going over there was? It's changed the whole entire playing field. And for a while, WWE was on the ropes because of it. Is Vince going to make the same mistake again? Now, I'm not saying Braun Strowman or even Samoa Joe or Rusev is the next Scott Hall or Kevin Nash, but I'm telling you that WCW was dying because there was an awful lot of people there that was like, they're good wrestlers, but they're not huge draws. The minute the NWO was formed, it was huge. Because all of a sudden, there were marquee names and people that people genuinely wanted to see. I mean, you can go let a Heath Slater go, and as much as I like Heath Slater, nobody's running to the arena just to see Heath Slater or Curt Hawkins. As good as they are, they're not names that you're going to run out of your house to see. Braun Strowman is. Aleister Black is. Samoa Joe is. And you're going to just hand them over? Mike, I think it's a huge, colossal, gigantic mistake, and I think it could come back to really hurt the WWE. Mike, are you there?
I'm here.
He's not there. Oh, there he is. Okay, let's get you back.
You're absolutely right. This is a bad, bad thing. Yeah. Yeah, you get a couple of 40-year-old guys. You get Samoa Joe's before, and it probably close to 40 or there and stuff like that. But the rest of them, Lana's still young. Miro, of course, is young. A lot of these guys didn't. The WWE didn't squeeze the orange enough with these guys. A lot of these guys they cut loose. And that was our biggest question, our biggest point with the WWE, not squeezing the orange enough. And look, here's the deal. Let's focus on one other thing, Marcus. Bray Wyatt, they gave away his gimmick, right? And the rest of the three guys that were with him are no longer in the WWE. Braun Strowman, gone. Luke Harper, well, gone, but and also passed away, sadly. And, of course, the other fella, Eric.
Eric Rowan.
You know, the big, yeah. Yep, Eric Rowan. He's gone. He's still not. And I think AEW probably made a mistake in not signing him, but that's for another day. But, again, this is a thing where you're right. These aren't and even to some extent when they signed Hulk Hogan, yeah, he might have been pushing up against past his prime, but once they put him in the NWO, it sort of rejuvenated his career a bit, right? So And then without the NWO, we don't get DX. Without the NWO, mm-hmm. we don't get the Bullet Club.
That's right.
You know?
No, you're absolutely spot on that, and that's the problem. I don't know if this is a great move on WWE's part, because any one of these guys can catch fire. Braun Strowman had caught fire for a while, and then WWE put him out. Miro had caught fire. WWE put him out. Now, so far, AEW has not proven to me that they can promote these guys any better than the WWE, because they had Miro over there. It didn't move the dial one notch. We didn't get more people watching because Miro went over. There's a few people that didn't move the dial one notch. The Big Show didn't move the dial one notch. So that's probably not good for AEW. They've got to utilize these guys. They've got to actually purchase them, or what I should say is sign them. They got to use them. And they got to use them to their advantage, where they say, we got to make this guy a big draw. Their problem, Church, is this. They don't want to promote these guys as their top, top, top guys, because they fear that if they do, the fans are going to say, oh, I get it. The WWE's throwaways are your top guys, and that doesn't
work. You're absolutely right. They don't want to be seen as the new WCW, where they just reuse WWE's scraps. But I'm sitting here going, y'all do realize that that is how the wrestling business works. You take some of the old guard, you let them train the young, direct them, or no, point them in the right direction. There we go.
Yeah.
You have to point your talent in the right direction, and then from there, you let that talent do whatever, do the crazy hardcore matches, do the over-the-top lucha-style match, whatever. But you let them develop their character after they get the tutelage of, this is how you become a draw, son.
Well, I mean, look, they did it with Chris Jericho. They had Chris Jericho kind of, people go under his tutelage. Look how he brought MJF along and everything. So, yeah, that's what you do. John Moxley's done the same thing for them. But here's the deal. Moxley was a WWE leftover, and they made him the champion. Chris Jericho was a WWE leftover, and they made him the champion. So the deal is AEW knows they can utilize these guys who already have a good reputation and already are a draw for two things. One, you're right, to latch onto the younger talent and eventually promote them. But two, to get butts in seats and use them as a big name who people recognize. But now they're starting to get afraid of it because they're hearing the fans. And the fans are saying, oh, I bet you AEW is going to sign them. They're just WCW. They just sign everybody the WWE doesn't want anymore. Third-rate federation that just signs leftovers. That's not true. Braun Strowman is not a leftover. Braun Strowman can draw. Aleister Black is not a leftover. Aleister Black can draw, if used right. Ruby Riott is not a leftover. Lana's not a leftover. I'm sorry, they're not. They got a big name to them, especially Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe, wherever he lands up. Those guys got big names. And you could see a potential match between Samoa Joe and Moxley or Chris Jericho and Aleister Black. Come on. These are things that's going to draw for AEW. Put it this way. I seldom watch AEW all the way through. I scan it a little bit. Because I'm not interested in a whole lot of the characters. Some of the characters I'm not interested in. But I got news for you. If you start putting people over there, like Samoa Joe, like Aleister Black, like Braun Strowman, like Ruby Riott, I'm going to have to watch it. I'm going to have to watch it. Because I'm interested to see how they're going to continue their career. Because these guys are not, And again, I'm not trying to make fun of these guys because I really like these guys, and I thought WWE dropped the ball with them. But they're not Curt Hawkins and Heath Slater. They're not guys that you say we're never going to do anything with them. They're never going to be anything more than, you know, enhancement talent. We've kept them on the payroll because they were just like comfortable like an old shoe. But the bottom line of the situation is we don't have anything for them except to build up other wrestlers and make them look good. We got nothing to do with them. Okay. Well, then that's fine. But Heath Slater and Curt Hawkins aren't draws. Braun Strowman and Aleister Black are. I mean, say Sami Zayn. Say you lose Sami Zayn. He goes over. I don't like Sami Zayn. But he's going to be a name. What happens if Kevin Owens follows him? Now you got Andrade over there, don't you? Andrade's nobody. Let me tell you something. Andrade's nobody's joke. I watched Andrade and Johnny Gargano in NXT put on maybe my favorite match of all time ever. A few years back. To the point where I said, I can't believe this guy is not on the WWE's main roster with Zelina Vega as his manager because these guys work so well together. And lo and behold, they did it. And I said, oh, here we go. Now we're going to see something special. No, the WWE ruins it. Totally ruins it. The WWE right now is very lazy, and I'll tell you why. They don't scout their own talent. In other words, if I worked for the WWE and Ricochet was in NXT, and they're asking me, what do you think of Ricochet? I must tell them, listen, he's a great athlete. He's going to do all these impressive moves. It's going to make you, you know, fans stand up and cheer. He ain't nobody that's going to use this microphone and sell his own fight. So you're either going to need to come up with a character for him where he doesn't have to talk a lot, or maybe we should put him under a mask, something where it's not important that he has a tremendous backstory or he does a lot of talking, as opposed to a guy like Bray Wyatt who's all talking. It doesn't matter if he has a good match. It's all about the talking. Wrestlers are so different. You have to scout them and understand what they are. And I heard that supposedly Vince McMahon said, I don't even understand the style of wrestling that Aleister Black does or Buddy Murphy. I don't really like it. I don't really understand it. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Did anyone come to you and show you tapes? Did anyone come to you and say, this is what they do? Did anyone come to you and say, because this is the way they wrestle, this is what we got from them? Apparently not. But now we know why Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa said, I don't want to come up. I want to stay right where I am, because they knew what was going to happen. They were smart enough to say, that's going to be the end of my career if I come up there. And Todd, they were probably right.
I absolutely agree, like you said, about Ciampa and Gargano don't want to be up on the main roster. And like you said, they were probably right. They probably, if they go up to the main roster, they're not going to get used the right way.
Yeah, I mean, there's no indication that they would. But, Mike, don't you think it's true that AEW has to forget the stigma of, oh, all you do is use WWE leftovers and use these guys? If you're going to sign them, put them on the top of the card, because they got to look at the long game, Mike. They got to say, okay, right now we're going to get picked on for we're using WWE leftovers. But at least they're drawing, and they're going to help us bring along our own talent, like an MJF, like a Sammy Guevara, like these guys that you might not be too familiar with yet, but eventually right. will be.
Right, Private Party, people like that, you know. And that's the thing. And think about it. What's happening with Private Party? Who are they with? Who's managing them?
Right.
All right. And it's Matt Hardy. They got basically they're basically doing the Matt Hardy brand. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and he's serving his purpose. He's basically their version of MVP right now. Now also I just want to mention what's going on with Charlotte Flair. We know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get in her good graces by handing her everything on a silver platter, right? And we know that her contract is coming. We know that her contract is coming up, but look at her reaction when her husband or her fiancé showed up. And you tell me that money's not going to be an issue for her, that if money's not going to be an issue for her and that reaction, then I'm not so sure no matter what they offer her, she's going to sign with them.
Yeah, and don't think for 1 minute that Tony Khan can't match Vince McMahon's offer. He certainly can. He could probably exceed it. So there is a future problem there. There's definitely a future problem there. But again, if you want to, the downside of AEW signing all of these WWE talents, if they do, they've yet to sign Braun Strowman. They can't do anything till August. A lot of these guys got 90-day no-competes. Andrade didn't for whatever reason, probably to make Charlotte happy, so he could go right over there. But Lana, Aleister Black, certainly Braun Strowman, they all have 90-day no-compete. So for 90 days, they're not doing anything. But eventually, if they do get signed to, let's say, AEW, you got to utilize these guys right away. You got to make these guys top guys who are going to help your younger guys out eventually. But utilize their star power now to draw, because Church, the bottom line of the situation is they may be better wrestlers, but people aren't going to flock by the tens of thousands to see the Young Bucks or even Cody. But I don't know, man. I still say whether he's a great wrestler or he's a mediocre or a lousy wrestler, there are a lot of people who would come see Braun Strowman if he was live.
Let me put it like this. The Young Bucks have not said a single word that has convinced me to leave my house and go see them. I want to see somebody get beat to hell and back by Braun Strowman. I want to see that live.
See? Yeah, and I agree with you 100%, Church. I mean, if I'm going to see something, do I want to see a super kick party, or do I want to see a 6'7", 320-pound guy maul somebody like a bear? I'll take the second one. Because that's unusual. I can see super kick parties at any indie show. Every single indie worker has a super kick. Not every single indie worker is 6'7", 320 pounds and can throw people around like a rag doll. So I'd rather see Strowman. See, that's the thing. The star power of drawing, it has nothing to do with the talent. You know how many people go see Justin Bieber? I mean, if Justin Bieber were to have a concert, there's going to be a bazillion people there. Most of them are going to be 12, but it doesn't matter. They're going to be sold out. Now you get some dude who graduated the Juilliard School of Music to play his violin, and he's a million times better than Justin Bieber would ever think of being. Ain't nobody there. There ain't nobody there. Nobody wants to hear some dude and his violin. That's the difference. It's not the talent that matters. So for all these people saying, oh, the Young Bucks were a million times better than Strowman, so what? I don't care. So what? I've seen people at karaoke bars that sing better than some people who are multimillionaires. But those people at the karaoke bar, they ain't never going to be a multimillionaire. Because they can't draw. These guys, for whatever reason, can. And Braun Strowman can. Samoa Joe can. I'm pretty sure Aleister Black can, because I'll tell you right now, even if you're the guys who hate that type of wrestling with Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman, you don't like that power wrestling, you probably like Aleister Black's wrestling. Can you imagine Aleister Black against, you name it, Cody Rhodes, maybe against MJF, maybe against Sammy Guevara, maybe against Chris Jericho? Can you imagine? A lot of fans would like that. He's definitely AEW's darling because he wrestles in that style they want. But AEW needs more of like the Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe type too. They need that big star power monstrous guy, because like Brian Cage and stuff, that's not it. He's big and he's strong and he's cool enough, but he's not a draw. Braun Strowman is. That's a major signing. That's a major signing if they sign him, and they know that. And hell, the same thing can be said of Impact. If Impact wants to sign Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe and all those people, I'm going to be very interested in what Impact's going to do with them. What the WWE basically did is they cleaned house with good quality people who can really be utilized by other federations. And not just as a good wrestler, because good wrestlers are a dime a dozen, just like good musicians are a dime a dozen. Good musicians are a dime a dozen. You know what they do? They play on. They play in the studio for money on other people's albums who can't play. Oh, let me call up this drummer who's excellent because I don't need to play the drums and I don't know how to play the drums. I'll go call this drummer. And you never heard of this drummer, but he's great. That's what they do. While the other guys take the stage. Now, I worked with the drummer from Billy Idol's White Wedding. No, not the guy you saw on tour. Steve Missile was his name. If you check the back of Billy Idol's White Wedding album, you'll see Steve Missile is listed as the drummer. This man is a phenomenal drummer. He showed me things in the studio I never saw in my life a drummer do. And told me, well, this Billy Idol album was so easy. I did everything in like one or two takes. Anybody could do it. Almost anybody could do it. It was really just boom, bap, boom, bap, boom, bap. It's, you know, if you got rhythm. But they wanted, you know, really quick. They wanted a professional to do it quick, save them money. And he thought he was going to go on tour with Billy Idol because they picked him to be the guy who was going to do the album. And when he said, well, am I going to get the gig? They practically laughed in his face and said, no, hell no. You're 40-something years old. You don't look like Billy Idol or any of his crew. We got some young dude who looks like who fits the part to do it. So, well, why couldn't you just have him play the drums then? Why'd you hire me? Oh, no, he's not that good. Oh, gotcha. See how that works? So don't tell me that being a great wrestler means you're going to be a draw. It doesn't. And don't tell me being a lousy wrestler doesn't mean you can draw. Because you can. So I'm sorry to tell you that when you've got both, Aleister Black's a good wrestler. Samoa Joe's a good wrestler. Braun Strowman's average to slightly below average, but he's a draw. Ruby Riott is an excellent women's wrestler. Lana is not a great wrestler. But I'm going to be very honest with you. If Lana is somewhere where I can go see her live, I'm going. Okay, maybe it makes me sound like whatever, church, but if Lana is attending someplace, I think I'm going to show up.
Give me one second. I didn't hear what you said.
I said if Lana shows up at a place, I'm probably going. You know, she's probably going to get me to buy a ticket.
Yeah, they're a draw. They have a name. It's a reason for people to leave their house.
And that's the most important thing, church. And that's the most important thing. It's not the talent necessarily, Todd. It's the star power. If we knew Lana was going to be at some indie card, we're there, right?
Absolutely. Like you said, about Lana and everything. We would be there if they were doing a show right now.
In the long run, they're television stars. I mean, millions of people watch them every single week, so it's almost like, well, you know, they're a big name, and of course you're going to go see them.
Of course. I mean, look, Lana started out as a manager, but later on she was on Total Divas, right? And that was for better or for worse, that was a popular show, right? I'm not saying it was popular because of her. I'm not saying it's popular because of her, but she was on it,
right?
And she's a television show. That kind of made her a bigger television star because she was on it. It made me not had anything to do with the WWE, but she was on it. So yeah, it's like what happened a few years back when a friend of mine, you know, who was a promoter. He promoted a card, and guess who he brought in? He brought in Shane Douglas. I was there, and I got Shane Douglas. I got a picture with him. I got a poster of him, and he signed it and all that stuff. But I was there, and people were there because Shane Douglas was there.
Right.
All right? They knew who he was, right?
Yep. Mike, there's no doubt about it. I mean, look, you could just go to any of these conventions and you'll see. You'll have some dude, and he's like, well, I was in Star Wars, but I wasn't one of the top six or eight people in it. I played this guy that was in it for a minute. There's still a line a mile long because, oh, that guy was in Star Wars. And then you get some Academy Award-nominated actress or actor that was in a movie you never freaking heard of in your life, and there's 25 people there because they're like, I don't know who that is. Doesn't mean they're a better actor. It just means they're more popular. More people have seen them. Well, more people have seen Lana. Okay? I'm guaranteeing you that if you – and I'm not – again, I'm not comparing the two in the ring. But if you put Britt Baker and Lana at the same autograph signing, I know whose line's going to be longer. And it's not Britt Baker. Sorry to tell you, it's not going to be. You think I'm kidding? I went to an autograph signing one time, and there was only one wrestler there, to be honest. The rest of them were baseball players, but some of them were very famous. Very famous. And Ted DiBiase was there as well. And Ted DiBiase's line was so much longer than any of the baseball players that he actually was embarrassed. The guys were actually saying to him, who are you? The baseball players were actually saying to him, who are you again? Because your line is so much longer. And he's saying, I'm a professional wrestler. And he was almost embarrassed of it. But he's a star because he's on TV every week. Well, Lana's a star. She's on TV every week. Strowman's a big star. He's on TV every week. The people you can't afford to lose. So let's take a survey here. Is AEW signing all these people? Is this, you think it's a good thing, Mike, or do you think it's a bad thing because it's going to make people compare them to WCW and you think it maybe makes them look a little third rate?
No, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a better thing because we talked about this earlier. It's who these people are. I mean, not that they're not anybody special. I'm just who they cut. If the WWE were cutting Mr. X, Y, and Z, nobody would care. But it's Braun Strowman, it's Ruby Riott, it's Lana, it's, you know, we can go down the list of the people that they cut and then in this last round of cuts, and people are going to care about them, not only just because they care, but because they're going to figure out that these are the same people. Once they get in there, these are the same people that the WWE was either killed or wasn't doing anything with. And they have talent, and they have the combination of the talent and the athletic ability and the charisma that they could be something.
I absolutely agree. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little experiment. I'm going to name you the names, and then I'm going to go around to the panel here. And you can only sign two if you're AEW. If you're Tony Khan, you can only sign two people. You tell me which two you would sign. And the nominees are Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, Ruby Riott, Lana, Buddy Murphy, and Samoa Joe. Those are the six people. Todd, which two of those six, If you were Tony Khan, would you instantly try to sign?
Well, Aleister Black is one.
Okay.
And Braun Strowman.
Aleister Black and Braun Strowman. Okay. Let me go down to Church. Out of that list, Church, and I'll repeat them. Aleister Black, Braun Strowman, Buddy Murphy, Samoa Joe, Lana, and Ruby Riott. Which is the two you would sign if you were AEW?
To be quite honest, Ruby Riott and Lana, like, actually do a women's revolution properly.
You know, that's not bad, because I tend to agree with you to a certain extent that they could most benefit by having some more women. Let me go to Mike, and then I'll give you my own. Mike, what's your two?
I got to agree with Church, and for simply the fact that of the potential of a Randy Savage Elizabeth thing with a more active wrestling type in Lana.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I thought I was going to be the only one. I'm glad to see the panel agrees with me. I'm going to go Braun Strowman and Lana, which I think is one of each. You get a male and a female. Lana is not going to set the world on fire in the ring, but man, oh man, can you use her back up with Rusev and see where this goes? Because that whole Rusev day was far from done when the WWE destroyed it, and I think you could have a revolution of Miro Day or something in AEW and really run with it. And I just think Braun Strowman's a bigger draw than anybody else. Maybe Samoa Joe, arguably, but Joe is very injury prone. Joe was injured for the vast majority of his WWE tenure. And so for that reason, I'd take Strowman by a hair. If AEW was really short of announcers, I might say Samoa Joe, because if worse came to worse, he's actually a really good announcer. But I'm going to go Strowman and Lana. And Derek in the chat room, he said Strowman and Joe. Those are two good choices, too, because those are probably your two top draws. Aleister Black's probably your best wrestler for AEW style. But I don't know if he's a huge, huge draw. He's not as big a draw as Samoa Joe, and I don't think he's as big a draw as Braun Strowman either. Ruby Riott would really solidify that women's division, but they're doing pretty good, and especially if they've got some people coming up from New Japan and stuff, they may have that solidified enough on their own. Buddy Murphy's great. I love Buddy Murphy. And I'm still pissed at the fans because I still say the fans are the ones who cost them their job, and I warned you were going to do it, by the way. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, I pled with you, please don't write in and say this is a dumb angle and we hate it because he's 30 and she's 19. And they're not even really going out in real life, and you're all got your panties in a bunch over it. Actors, for God's sake. You cost the man his job. And he's a really good wrestler. But I'd like to see him maybe like an Impact or something. I think Buddy Murphy could do well in Impact. And the reason I didn't pick Samoa Joe is I almost think Samoa Joe would do better in Impact because, man, does he have a history in that federation. And his return would be like, whoa. It would be big. So I might like to see Samoa Joe over there. Ruby Riott, wherever she lands, it's going to be a boon for whoever gets her. I would try very, very hard if I was Billy Corgan. I would try very hard to sign Ruby. I tried very hard to sign any of these guys if I was Billy Corgan. I know Corgan was, super excited about Braun Strowman, saying, I want Strowman. I imagine you do. For the same reason I'm just saying, that's the biggest draw. Billy Corgan's a rock musician. He gets it. He gets the power of draw. And he knows that Braun Strowman's the draw. Out of that whole thing, he knows that Braun Strowman's the draw. And he desperately wants him. I don't think he's got the money to get him. Because I'm telling you right now, I truly believe Tony Khan's going to throw an offer out that's going to melt your mind to get him. Truly believe it. So it's very interesting. The only people that weren't mentioned is Ruby Riott and Buddy Murphy, pretty much. The rest of them we all think would be good fits. And this just goes to show you that we've got five people. And Braun Strowman's name was mentioned three times. Lana and Ruby Riott was mentioned a couple of times. Only Buddy Murphy and I said Ruby Riott, but I meant Buddy Murphy and what was her name? Santana Garrett or whatever. They weren't mentioned, but everybody else, everybody thinks is a great fit. There you go. How can Tony Khan not open up the pocketbook? You got to realize that Jericho's near the end of his contract. And he may not re-sign with anybody. Because Jericho's getting to the age where he may just say, you know what? F the ring. I'm 50-some-odd years old. I have a successful rock band. I don't really need to get my head pounded into the ground. Maybe I'm just going to fade into the sunset here. If so, he may sign with Vince as just, backstage or whatever and let Tony Khan just cut ties with him. Tony Khan needs ring performers right now. See, Tony Khan doesn't need Mark Henry. I'm sorry. He doesn't need the Big Show either. Those were dumb signings, in my opinion. Will it help guys backstage? I guess it will, but you got Arn Anderson there. You've got Tully Blanchard there. You've got Jake the Snake Roberts. So you've got a ton of guys that's helping guys backstage. Do you really need the Big Show and Mark Henry? I don't think so. You need Braun Strowman. You need Samoa Joe. You need maybe an Aleister Black or a Lana or a Ruby Riott or whatever. You need them because they're going to help you in the ring, not behind the scenes. If you remember when Samoa Joe was breaking into this business, they hooked him up with Kurt Angle for a long time. And the reason was Kurt Angle was teaching them as they went. Kurt Angle was, putting the old shelter over him and saying, okay, we're going to work together and I'm going to bring you along. Well, that's what you can do with a lot of these people. Now, I wouldn't put Braun Strowman in that category. I don't know if he's going to bring anybody along. But Samoa Joe certainly can. Aleister Black certainly can. So we'll see what ends up happening with these guys. I tend to agree with Mike. I don't think it's a bad thing. If I was Tony Khan, I'd sign as many of these people as I could. As many as I could. And let the fans say what they're going to say. If the fans are going to say, you're just a WCW, you're buying up everybody that the WWE don't want, you're just a leftover federation, you have the last laugh on them. When your attendance goes up, your ratings go up, then you'll have the last laugh. But don't just buy them to sit them on the sidelines. Buy them and sign them and say, I have a plan. Sign them and have an idea of where you want to go with them. I mean, I'll be brutally honest with you. It looks like the Team Taz thing, Mike, is kind of folding and there's going to be dissension in the ranks and whatever. Wouldn't it be awesome if he brought in like a Samoa Joe or a Braun Strowman to be his new guy?
Yes, and here's something else to think about. If what we're saying about Jericho is real, they're gonna want to keep that the inner circle together somehow, and he's gonna take a step back. Somebody's gonna have to be the leader of that thing, and it looks like they're trying to bring Sammy Guevara along to be that guy. But we gotta see. And look, of the guys that are already there, the young guys that are there, there are two that I've spoken of the most. It's Sammy Guevara and MJF, and look where they are.
Exactly. And as Derek was pointing out, you know, Braun Strowman, I believe, I'm not sure because I haven't seen every single person in AEW on a regular basis. I think Braun Strowman would be like the biggest guy there, right? He'd have to be damn close to the biggest guy. Can you imagine him standing next to some of these guys, like an MJF or a Sammy Guevara? You'd be like, oh, Jesus Christ. He's a giant. And they could use that. They could use a guy that's just like, uh-oh, bad news. You know, this guy's not nobody to be played with. They need one of those guys desperately, and, man, Braun Strowman could fit that bill. Now, obviously, they can't call him Braun Strowman. I guess they could call Samoa Joe Samoa Joe because – the WWE took the same name. I don't know if WWE has a copyright to that name. I don't think so. Obviously, they have to call Ruby Riott something else. Obviously, they'll go back to Tommy End or Aleister Black if they were to sign him, which is fine. See, the thing about Aleister Black was this. I always felt in my heart of hearts he was a blue chipper, but he had the wrong gimmick. This dark, foreboding, evil, almost quasi-supernatural guy, he didn't fit, his look fit, but he was too small. And those type of guys traditionally are guys like Kane and The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt, guys who are 300 pounds and pretty big, and his style didn't fit that type of guy, and his size didn't fit that type of guy. When I looked at Aleister Black, I saw what he was. I saw him as like a kickboxer who was a legit badass, that type of thing. Not necessarily supernatural crapola. I think when he went to NXT, it worked because there weren't that many big people there anyway. But when it came to WWE and they tried to pull this church, I think that that was part of the reason the whole thing failed.
Yeah. When it comes to the supernatural gimmick, look at how they treated Finn Balor. And you expected the same thing to happen with Aleister Black? Well, no, you expected a different result with Aleister Black? Really?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they didn't let the Demon lose, but they didn't let him wrestle much either. And Finn Balor wasn't treated too good. And you know, I hear Balor maybe on his way back. And when I heard Balor was on his way back before the Aleister Black release, I thought, well, that's going to be the feud. That's going to be the main feud. Aleister Black against Finn Balor, and Finn Balor probably will at some point tear off the Demon gimmick, and we'll have the Demon against Aleister Black. And that would have been pretty damn good, Mike, and now it's a thing of the past.
Yeah, it's a thing of the past. And one other thing, you mentioned his Braun Strowman size. Yeah, he's in terms of total, he's bigger. He's the biggest guy there, but you still got guys like Dustin Rhodes, who's 6'6", and who's late in his career, I give you that. But also, you still got Jack Swagger there, who's, what, 6'6", 6'7", you know?
You do, but they were never promoted as – it's not so much about the height. It's about the whole bulk and mass. And you take a look at a guy like Strowman, and you're like, that is a huge dude. Jack Swagger was always promoted more as a technician. You know, I'm a real wrestler. I'm a NCAA wrestler. I'm an MMA fighter. You know, I'm a big guy, but I'm more of a mat guy. And Goldust was always promoted as, you know, sort of a freaky, sort of a weird guy who has a catch-as-catch-can style. And not Strowman. Strowman was promoted as a guy who tipped over an ambulance. Okay, an entire ambulance. Strowman was the guy who literally got thrown into a garbage truck and was fine. Strowman has always been promoted as a monster, an indestructible monster. Jack Swagger's never been promoted as an indestructible monster, neither has Goldust. So that indestructible monster image is what I'm mostly talking about. That he could be their, almost be their Brock Lesnar to a certain extent, some guy that you just like, this is going to be an almost impossible guy to beat. And for that reason alone, I think that makes him the top guy. I think that has to make him the blue chipper out of this. As much as they could use both women, and they should sign every one of these people, by the way. If I was Tony Khan, if I had to cut people, if I had to cut some people from my roster, which he doesn't, because he has all the money in the world. But if I had to, I'd cut some people to get these people. I really would. Because their name recognition alone is worth the money. If you go out onto the street, I'm telling you, if you go out onto the street and you say, do you know who Sammy Guevara is? A good amount of people are going to say, no, I never heard of him. If you ask a lot of people, do you know who MJF is? They're going to say, I don't know, is that a rapper? Does it stand for Michael Jackson or something? I don't know. Not really. You ask them who Braun Strowman is, I guarantee you the majority of people, even if they don't watch wrestling, are going to be like, isn't he a wrestler? I think I heard that name. You know, I saw them and then I saw a poster of him, or I saw him on a lunchbox or a T-shirt or something. Isn't he a wrestler? Same thing with Samoa Joe. That's what they're going to say. I think he's a wrestler, right? That is golden. That's golden. When you have that, you have something important. I tested that theory one time. We ran across some guys who were not wrestling fans. And they basically said, yeah, these guys are popular to you, but your average person don't know, couldn't, you know, you could take the top two wrestlers, the top two draws, and you could go out in the street, and I'll bet you 4 or 5 out of 10 people have no idea who they are. And I said, I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet. And here's the two names I mentioned. Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. And about 89% of the people said, yeah, they're wrestlers. The other 11 knew who Hogan was. 100% knew who Hogan was. 100%. And only a few people didn't know who Ric Flair was. That's priceless. So, and Braun Strowman could be that guy. Samoa Joe could be that guy. Right now you don't have it. John Moxley's not, I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to be like, I don't know, John Moxley, I don't know. And then say, well, Dean Ambrose, oh, wasn't he a guy from the WWE? Yeah, see? That's the deal. So over there, Mike, I don't know if they got that one guy. It could, I guess, be Chris Jericho. But aside from that, I don't know if they got that one guy that everybody knows.
Right. And look, here's the deal. Yeah, he can get in the ring to do it, but hell, he could. Strowman could be their 911. You know? I mean,
yeah.
He wouldn't need to get in the ring because you know that one, you know, just have him have that power slam or whatever move you assign to him to be his finisher, have that move protected to the point of, well, the choke to the point of what the choke slam was with 911 to the point of, well, nobody's getting up from it, you know, and he could be their 911. And yeah, you're right, you know, and I guarantee you, if you put a picture of Ron in front of somebody, of 100 people, I would guarantee you probably 75-80% might know who she is, you know?
Well, at least they'd guess she's some kind of a celebrity, that's for sure. If you're going to introduce Braun Strowman, the way AEW should do it is have another one of their battle royals and have Strowman be the last guy in, a surprise entry, who literally throws out 14 people. Literally. I mean, you got to have, like, you know, 20-man battle royal and only six people been eliminated and the rest of them are still in there. And here comes Strowman, and he just starts chucking people out like paper airplanes. While people are – and you know what? I'd have one guy literally jump out rather than to get thrown out. Pick a guy who's mostly comedy or whatever and be like, that guy just jumped out. He didn't want no part of even having Braun Strowman touch him. He literally eliminated himself rather than to be touched by Braun Strowman. Because then you could promote him and say, well, geez, look at this. The one-man wrecking crew. One of the wrestlers eliminated himself rather than even be touched by him. This guy's fearful. He's frightening. His strength is unbelievable. And then you got somebody. You can really start rehabbing Braun Strowman as somebody. Somebody major. And by the way, tell him to lose the bodybuilding drugs and go back to a little bit more of the bulk because, man, did you look a lot stronger and a lot bigger when you didn't have a 32-inch waist. But, I mean, you could build that up endlessly. And then if you brought in a Samoa Joe or something to fight with him, oh, okay, that's a big deal. Samoa Joe's not afraid of him. Samoa Joe's a big dude, too. Samoa Joe's a submission expert. We'll see where this goes. There's a lot you could do with this. A lot you could do with this. And you got Jake the Snake Roberts over there. You turn his back on his current charge and say, this is Braun Strowman. Next to me, the evilest guy I ever met. And you really have something. There's so much you could do with Braun Strowman in AEW that it writes itself. That's why he's got to be the number one choice. And I agree with the panel I'd sign both women to. I would sign both women, too. If Samoa Joe wants to go to Impact, I'm good with that, because I think that would be a freaking phenomenal pickup. Buddy Murphy, maybe Impact, that would be a phenomenal pickup. So we'll see. But the panel is absolutely right. Braun Strowman is the marquee name. Let's face it. He's the marquee name. He's probably the worst wrestler of the lot next to Lana, but he's still the marquee name. So it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Again, if I'm a promoter and I got a concert that I want to promote and they said, well, you got two choices. You can have this local band with these guys who are, man, they're shredding. These guys, they all graduated the Juilliard School of Music. These guys can play their instruments. You can't believe how good these guys are. And they'll draw you a good 300-500 people. Or you can have Justin Bieber can't sing a note and can't play anything. I'm taking Justin Bieber because he's going to draw me 12,000 people. And I don't give a damn if he can sing or not. What the hell do I care? It's the cash that's going in my pocket that I care about. Well, that's what the wrestling – I hate to tell you, folks, there's no Santa Claus. The wrestling federations care about the cash that's going in their pocket. They don't give a damn how technically brilliant you are. They care about the money you will bring them. And that's it. And Braun Strowman to bring you some money. So I don't know, man. I mean, I've heard a lot of fans say that the AEW is turning into WCW. And I think it's because, Church, they signed people that they have no real use for, like Mark Henry, like The Big Show, and maybe even like Sting, where you're just saying, you know, that's almost just to show off or just to say we got a name. There's really nothing we can do with them. That I think they should stop.
Signing people just because they have a name needs to stop. That is their biggest problem with their roster right now. What they need to do is, like you've been saying this entire show and probably for the last month and a half, right? That
yep.
they need to sign people that can actually get in the ring. You need to sign a name that can get in the freaking ring. If Tony Khan, if you're listening, if you're doing the smart thing and listening to this show right here, sign the entire goddamn list.
Yeah. I would sign the whole list. I would sign every single one of them on there. And if anybody said to me, well, you're just taking over the WWE leftovers, I would say, look, if you think any one of these people on this list is a leftover talent, you have no idea what you're talking about. When top quality talent becomes available, if you think I'm not signing them, regardless of what federation they came from, you're crazy. When a top quality talent becomes available, we're signing him. Now, I could argue that you're signing Mark Henry, that's a leftover. He's 50 years old. He couldn't even walk up until recently. And he's probably not going to be able to do more than one match if he does any matches ever again. So you signing him was strictly for backstage and his knowledge and his name, and I don't like that. Big Show's the same way. He might be able to do a match or two, but it's not going to be the same. But these guys got a lot of career left. Braun Strowman's not 20, but he's not old. What's he, 37, 38? He's got 5-6 years, maybe more. His style of wrestling, the last thing that goes is your strength. He never was quick or agile or high-flying, so the last thing to go is your strength. So he'd probably have 10, 15 years if he wanted. Samoa Joe's not young, but and he is a little injury-prone, and that's why I'm not sure he's a great fit, and that's why I think maybe Impact's better. Aleister Black's still young. He's not all that injury-prone. He's got a style that you like very much, AEW-type fans like very, very much. Lana's young. Ruby Riott's young. Both of them will help your women's division. Buddy Murphy's still young. He's a hell of a wrestler, and he's not bad on the mic. So there you go. All Tony Khan has to worry about is signing people who are well past their prime, and the WWE has said we really don't see them having a future. We really don't see us using them in any top capacity. That's why if Jeff Hardy got on the market and they signed him, you know, fans would rightfully say, oh, geez, come on. No, he's been floating around. He's doing nothing. He's a leftover. There was no need, really. The WWE didn't see anything in him, and he's past his prime. Yeah, well, Braun Strowman's not past his prime. Samoa Joe's not past his prime. Aleister Black is not past his prime. Ruby Riott is not past her prime, and neither is Lana past her prime. So these are great signings, all of them. If that's what you wanted to do. These are great signings. And I'm going to be brutally honest with you. If they sign even two of these people from this list, I'm going to be a much bigger AEW fan. Because I'm going to want to check out what they're doing with them. It's going to mean the difference to me. Right now, there's a very small handful of AEW guys I really care about much. And it's shrinking. I care about Jericho and his crew to a certain extent, but mostly Jericho. MJF, because I think he's a star in the making. To some extent, Sammy Guevara, Moxley. Really, maybe Kingston, and that's it. Dustin, only because, you know, he's a legend. But aside from that, I don't, you know, I'm not really into too many of these people. I don't really care about the Young Bucks. I don't really care about Kenny Omega. I know that sounds whatever. I don't find him all, he's a great wrestler. I don't find him all that interesting. I don't find Hangman Page all that interesting. But if you start signing some of these guys and putting them against them, maybe I will. Maybe I'll give it a second look. You're coming up on, what, a year and some odd, whatever. It is time now. It's time for some marquee names. Mark Henry is not a marquee name. Not in the ring. Big Show is not a marquee name. Not in the ring. Sting is a marquee name, but not in the ring. Braun Strowman's a marquee name in the ring. Aleister Black's a marquee name in the ring. You definitely got to go for these guys. And I guarantee you that you're not going to get outbid by Impact. And the WWE isn't going to bid on the people they let go, so who's your competition? They're there for the taking. So, Mike, I think you're right. I think that they should sign as many of them they possibly can and not worry about what the fans say.
And hell, look, I know her husband. I know her husband is in NWA right now, but Mickey James, because she could definitely help that women's division. You know, I know the odds on favorite for her is the NWA because Nick Aldis is there. But
right.
She would definitely help that division. Yeah, get them all, get all these guys. You got the money. I mean, it's not like. It's not like, I don't know, maybe Samoa Joe goes to Impact. Okay, I get that. And I'm not sure that Kurgan has that Tony Khan's deep pockets to sign some of these guys. So
he doesn't. I don't even think Vince McMahon has those deep of pockets. I mean, Tony Khan's dad, you know, is Scrooge McDuck, okay? He's rolling in money. So if he wants to open up the purse strings, his son can sign whoever he wants. Look how much money they gave Jericho at 40-some-odd years old, 47, whatever it was, 48. How much money they gave him. More than he said he ever saw in the WWE. So, of course, they can give him all that money if they want to. And they should if they think they can turn a profit with it. You're going on the road. Do you want to go on the road with Cody Rhodes is going to be there, and the Young Bucks is going to be there, and Orange Cassidy is going to be there, and we got a 10,000-seat arena, and there's going to be 1,000 people there, 2,000 people? Or do you want to say, we got Braun Strowman, and we've got Aleister Black, and we've got Chris Jericho, and we've got you name them, and then you're going to see the difference. Because even WWE fans will say, well, this is my chance to go see Braun Strowman. This is my chance to go see Aleister Black and some people. And maybe they'll just maybe, while they're sitting there watching their heroes from WWE, they might say, oh, I like that guy that I never saw before. Who is that Sammy Guevara guy? I like him. Who is this guy? I like him. This is the way you trap people into it. I told this story before. I'll tell it again. We always used to do our hardcore matches that I was in anyway. We always used to do them last. And then we realized, well, a lot of people are showing up late just to see the hardcore match, just to see the train wreck, right? So what we'll do is we'll put on a match or two before that, even if we have to stretch out the card. So in other words, when we see the crowd filing in, we'll say, okay, now we're going to put on this match or this match. And before you knew it, these fans who were only going, the blood marks, who were there to see the barbed wire and the ground glass, the thumbtacks and the fire, would say, now I'm kind of interested in what's going to happen with that guy. Now I'm kind of interested in this person too. And they started showing up earlier. And pretty soon you had them. Pretty soon they started, you know, they were there for the preliminary match. That's what AEW can do. The people who are going to go see Braun Strowman, the people who are going to go see Aleister Black, the people who are going to go see Samoa Joe, who maybe they're not AEW fans or weren't, are going to go to that show and say, oh, there's a few of these guys I really like. That's the beauty of it, Todd. That's how you hook the fans into widening your fan base.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember what we did. You did your hardcore match last before the big title match.
Right.
Mostly.
And the reason is because then you can hook your fans. Again, there are probably people out there who would love MJF or Sammy Guevara if they saw him, but they really didn't see him. Because they're mostly WWE guys. No, I'm not interested in watching another federation. But, oh, my favorites are over there. I like Aleister Black. I like Braun Strowman. I like Samoa Joe. I like whatever. We'll watch it. Oh, well, I like this guy now. I'm interested in what this guy's going to do. I'm interested in what that guy's going to do. And before you know it, you've expanded your fan base. I guarantee Tony Khan this. You sign two people, just two. And it's not Buddy Murphy and Santana Garrett, because that won't work. If you sign two of the top ones, Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, Samoa Joe, Lana, or Ruby Riott, you sign two of them, one being male and one being female, your ratings are going up. I promise you, your ratings are going to go up. Now, it's going to go up 500,000, but it's going to go up. And church, at the end of the day, that's the business. That's what they're there for, is higher ratings and more people in the building.
Exactly. That way, when the blood, like that way, the blood marks tell the people, like the entire panel here, the heat generators, where we boo the faces. We don't boo the faces. We boo the heels and cheer the faces, and actually follow the storyline to be able to keep the blood marks on track. Like, hey, this guy hates that guy for that reason.
Yeah, it's important that you develop your storylines and you capture your fans. Right now, AEW, I think, is stagnant. In other words, I think they've got all the fans they're going to get, and the fans are happy with the product, but they're not expanding that fan base. And they're saying, well, when we go on the road, we'll expand the fan base. And that's true. They'll probably get more people once they go on the road, because people will show up for live wrestling just for something to do, and hopefully they'll enjoy it and they'll start watching the TV show. But I promise you, if you go into WWE territory with a Braun Strowman, a Samoa Joe, and Aleister Black, you're going to draw more people. And more people are going to watch your show. I mean, that's just common sense. It's just common sense. And the more people that watch your show, the more chance you have of getting your own characters over. That's what fans don't understand. They're like, oh, it's just WWE leftovers. Yeah, but these WWE leftovers are putting eyes on the product so that now the eyes are on other people who aren't WWE leftovers. Let's say you never heard of Sammy Guevara in your life, and you're going to an event, and you're like, okay, well, in this event, we're pulling the Big Show out of retirement, and he's going to fight Braun Strowman. And people are like, well, hell, I'm going to see that. And then Sammy Guevara's in one of the opening matches, and he lights it up, and you're like, who's that guy? I can't tell you how many times that happened to me. I'd go to a show to see a certain wrestler or a couple of wrestlers, and I'd end up being very impressed with a different one. And I'd say, well, that guy's great. I want to follow his career a little bit more. How do I do that? Oh, I watch AEW. Okay. That's the beauty of signing the names. You get the eyes on the product so that the guys who don't have the names can become names. Nobody knew who Keith Lee was, except the indie marks. When I showed up to see Keith Lee for the first time, I was in shock. And as soon as I saw him outside the ring, I said to him, I'm going to get your picture now. I don't normally ask wrestlers to take a picture with me. But I'm going to ask you, and I'll tell you why I'm going to ask you, because I don't know how many more times I'm going to see you. Because if Vince McMahon sees you, you're gone. I'm telling you right now, you're gone. You're exactly what he wants, a big dude who's agile, has charisma. You're gone. Now, I didn't show up that night to see Keith Lee. But when I left, that's the guy whose name was on the tip of my tongue. So I showed up to see maybe, I think that night, Bob Holly was there. And I'm like, oh, Bob Holly, he's a WWE name. I'll still show up. That's good to see him in a small arena, you know. But it was Keith Lee whose name I remembered and said, there's a future star. That's how it works. AEW needs these names. It's gold for them. And for all of you people saying they're just leftover WWE guys and they should stay away from them, you're crazy. No, I don't want them to sign some guy who retired 8 years ago. I don't want them to pull people out of mothballs, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But none of these guys are pulled out of mothballs. These guys are in the prime of their career, all of them. How can you not make a bid for them? How can you not try to get them? This isn't some minor player who's 45 years old and for the last 6 years he's been basically at catering watching everybody else wrestle. I mean, if you sign Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel or whatever, they're quality wrestlers. And they got a lot of charisma. But maybe they don't have the name, as big a name as you want. Braun Strowman does. Aleister Black does. Samoa Joe does. Lana does. Got to go for them, Mike. I mean, you got to go for them. That's how you're going to get your eyes on your own superstars.
Right. And here's the deal. Think about it this way. You've told this story before, and you were sitting out in the crowd or watching wrestling with somebody, and Bailey comes out, and that person you asked about her, and without even blinking, that person said, "Well, she's going to be big," you know.
Yep.
Then there's that,
yep.
And then you mentioned Keith Lee just now, Marcus. What happens that in another couple, three, four months? Well, yeah, we know what's going on with Keith Lee right now, but what in another couple, three, 4 months, well, they decide, well, we're not using you. We're going to cut you, Keith Lee. He's another guy that Tony Khan should, if that happens, should think about signing as Keith Lee.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, do you remember, was it the Rumble, I think it was, when Keith Lee and Braun Strowman just went nose to nose and the crowd went nuts. The crowd started cheering just to see those two guys go nose to nose for a minute. And to his credit, Braun Strowman really sold him. Watch the match and you see Braun Strowman mouth the words like he didn't know who the guy was. When Keith Lee's number gets called and he comes walking down, you see Braun Strowman mouth the words, "Oh, that's a big boy." But kind of sarcastically, like, big deal. He's a big boy, but I'm going to throw him out. And then all of a sudden, he's getting manhandled by him, and you watch, like, Braun Strowman's face, and he's just like, shit. This guy's immensely strong. And then he started taking him seriously, and we're all like, we're going to see a good match here. We're going to see a feud eventually. Nah, none of that took place. None of that took place. The crowd organically popped for it, and Vince McMahon wouldn't pull the trigger on it. Do you think for 1 minute that if I was sitting there and I heard that reaction when Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar went nose to nose that I wouldn't say, hold the phone, get the writers on the can. Crowd is wanting this, and we're going to give it to them. WWE doesn't do that. I don't know why they don't do that, but they don't do it. And Mike is absolutely right. If for whatever reason, and we should talk about Keith Lee a little because he tweeted that he's going to tell a full story soon, and he's still in the WWE despite some rumors. I don't know what happened to Keith Lee. There's only two options. I know that his girlfriend and wrestler, Mia Yim, I think it's his wife now, but if it's not, it's his fiance. She contracted COVID. I don't know if he did too. Now, if he did, it might have really sidelined him because they say if you're a big, heavy dude, it really, really, really lays on you, and it takes months and months and months and months to fully get over. I'm just speculating that could be a reason. Some people were saying he was injured. Some people are saying that Vince McMahon wanted him to do more training and get a little better. I don't know how much better you want him to get. This is a guy that's an easy 350, and he's doing cartwheel flips over the top rope. I don't know how much better you want him to get, but whatever reason, Keith Lee, I think, is going to come back to the WWE, but Mike is right. Could you imagine introducing Keith Lee after you've introduced Braun Strowman and those two going nose-to-nose in AEW? That's a main event. That's a gigantic main event. That is a drawing main event. That is a I'm going to be there to see this main event. No doubt about it. And that's what AEW needs more of. Because their fan base is these guys who are really into, like, the technical wrestling. But, you know, they're the Ricochet fans. But after a while, you see all those moves and you're like, okay, I've seen this a million times. It's better if you have a personality. It's better if you have an image. It's better if you have some sort of reason for the fans to care about you one way or the other. And these are guys that they would. We haven't seen a tenth of what Keith Lee can do. I'm telling you. I sit front row and watch what Keith Lee can do, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Keith Lee is like a 370-pound Ricochet. And that's why when Ricochet says, I'm the best high flyer in the business, hands down. You know, even Rey Mysterio and all those people, as great as they are, I'm great. Yeah, you're 160 pounds. I've seen Keith Lee do damn near everything you've done at 380. So that impresses me a hell of a lot more. A hell of a lot more. And these are the people that you pay to see. I can't tell you how many fans, even casual fans, would sit there and watch Ricochet flip and flip and say, well, he's a little guy. Of course he can. You see Keith Lee do it, and the fans stand up and cheer. Because they're like, Jesus Christ, he's a giant, and he did it. That's the difference, Mike.
That is the difference, and yeah, you're right. And look, Mia Yim what was her name, Jade, in Impact. And so she could very well, if they decide to fire her, which I don't think they will, because Keith Lee is there, and they don't want to lose Keith Lee, I don't think. But if they decide to fire her, she could right now go back to Impact and fit in very nicely. In fact, I think she'd fit in very nicely in the women's division in AEW. You know?
She absolutely would. And look, this is the difference between WWE then and now. There was a time when if you got fired from WWE, you were going to do the indies or you were going overseas and you were going to take a tremendous pay cut and your lifestyle wasn't going to be the same or you were going to have to really hustle. Nowadays, it's a little different. You got AEW there. Impact is starting to do well. You got NWA. There's money to be made. There's other places to go. It's not the end of your world. My recommendation, my whole take on this is AEW needs to sign as many of these people as they can. And to hell with what the fans say. Anyway, thanks for listening. It was great to hear from Church again, and we'll be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.